The F-35 fighter jet takes part in a major military exercise this week, and the Defense Department wants to buy about 450 F-35s in the next 3 years, starting in 2018, in conjunction with its partners around the world. The Pentagon says it sees progress with the program. Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics Frank Kendall says the program is performing better. Costs will stay down. A lot of coverage about the F-35 in the last several days. Richard Abulafia is Vice President for Analysis at the Thiel Group and an expert on the aircraft industry, and my next guest on Pentagon Solutions today. So, Richard, indulge the inner skeptic in me. I see all kinds of positive news stories about the F-35, and I think either, A, it really has turned the corner and is performing a lot better, cost curve bending, etc., or B, it's circling the drain and somebody's trying to CYA, and I don't know which, and that's why I turn to you. Thank you for being on the program today.
No, it's a pleasure. And, you know, in a lot of ways, this program is sort of created with, a certain degree of skepticism in mind. Between those two possibilities, you know, it's somewhere between the two, but definitely far closer to turning a corner. But I would get back to the fundamental issue that created and sustains the F-35, which is that the thing that makes it incredibly complicated as an aircraft is that there needs to be this marine version, which is vertical. That is to say, it takes off and lands vertically, short takeoff, vertical landing for marine carriers. That has complicated the technological maturation and the cost aspect of this program immensely. But thanks to the Marines, there is absolutely no way this program will be canceled, because the Marines have about 10 aircraft carriers of their own that only function as aircraft carriers if they have vertical jets. They lose the B version of the F-35, then you've suddenly got 10 effectively, if not useless, then only fit for helicopters, aircraft carriers. That's just not going to happen. So in other words, this program, I don't think it was ever under any kind of real threat, thanks to the Marines.
The headline that caught my eye most is Marine F-35 pilots conduct dogfights during sea trials. That was in the Military Times. Considering where this program has been as recently as the last several months or year, I think there were a lot of people that were skeptical that this would ever even get the testing phase would get this far along, Richard. Is that fair to say, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, as I mentioned, the maturation has been a lot slower than people expected. And when they started talking about entry into service dates, IOC dates, this year, next year, there was still a great deal of skepticism. But having said that, they do appear to be making some progress here. The only thing I really have concerns about is the cost dimension. The performance, well, at least from its standpoint of getting it flying and getting it with a minimal level of combat capability, that appears to be making good progress.
What's the significance of the block buy that Secretary Kendall is at least proposing right now? That sounds like that's going far beyond what we knew about the goals of the program in the context of our partners around the world. It sounds like that's more than what we knew about before. 450 is a lot of aircraft.
Well, we're planning in advance, but, you know, I mean, remember, at one point, this program was supposed to be one aircraft per working day. I mean, this was supposed to be the biggest mass production aircraft program since the F-16 days back in the 80s. So getting to, I guess it works out to 150 a year, that would be almost that part of the way there, but not quite what we once expected. Having said that, we've been stuck on this procurement plateau of about 30-something planes per year. That's what makes you think and makes a lot of people think, I think, hey, is this ever going to get off this plateau, and are we ever going to see significant production numbers? So to have him talk, Frank Kendall talk about getting to that point, that's a welcome possibility. Hopefully we will get off the output plateau that we've been on, and we'll start to see numbers in the, 150 per year. And that should, in theory, at least help drive costs down.
And I guess that's what tipped this skeptical part of me toward the turning the corner possibility, in that I find it hard to believe that Secretary Kendall would go out and propose that not only would we buy them, but we would buy them in conjunction with our partners if he didn't think that by 2018 this was going to be an aircraft worth leading our partners really very heavily and aggressively toward.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you look at the procurement programs abroad, what they've been purchasing. There have been a couple of nice headline procurements, like when South Korea selected the type and said they would buy 40 of them, when Japan said they would buy 42. Everyone else is talking about larger numbers for the long run, but you look at their year-by-year procurement, it's been a plane here, two planes there for testing purposes. It would be good if they started boxing all of their actual procurement objectives together and you began to see some of those larger numbers come to fruition abroad. And you probably will. I mean, it's in their plans. They've just been putting off major purchases just because they want to see how the program matures and how the price tag evolves and everything like that.
Richard Abulafia of the Teal Group is my guest, and you and your colleagues have put together a terrific information brief on the F-35. It's the complexity of this program really comes through when I read that material, Richard, and understand all of the data and all of the numbers and all the moving parts, essentially, of this aircraft and the sophistication of it. Has that been one of the things that's been hard for the program to overcome or to get its arms around, is the fact that there's a lot more complexity here than I think probably people even suspected when the thing was designed?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Francis. You know, you go back to the 60s to the program called the TFX, which was this extremely complicated aircraft, swing wings, all capable of singing, dancing, fighting, bombing, etc. There was even a carrier version. This is like that, except it also has to go vertical. We're talking about that level of complexity here. This is an effort to satisfy the needs of three different air arms, plus about eight foreign allies, plus export customers on that. And basically, it has to do everything and connect with everything. And there are so many new systems, new technologies that are coming into play that there were bound to be problems. Now, in theory, at least, it should also lead to something that's tremendously capable, but it's going to take a few more years to achieve that goal.
Regarding the tests that I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the most insightful comment about those is reported by the Military Times. Lieutenant General John Davis, Marine Corps Deputy Commandant for Aviation, says the Marines in the test on the USS Wasp were able to accomplish all of their test points, which began May 18th, wrapped up May 27th. So they put this plane through any number of paces, and it did everything they wanted it to, expected it to. I guess the question you apply to that is there a way for us to know that what their expectations were of the aircraft were appropriate for where it is in the development cycle?
Yeah, that's right. Ultimately, I have no doubt that some things were relaxed to meet certain goals. Most notably, you know, there's the first requirement to be able to fly, and then to defend itself, air-to-air combat, and then do more sophisticated missions, obviously ground attack and whatever else, you know, surveillance and reconnaissance. That's going to take some time. And, of course, just even the flight envelope it pursues, you know, how aggressively it maneuvers, you know, how quickly it times, how quickly it climbs, everything like that. You don't know exactly what the specifications or the anticipated goals were. But nevertheless, I think any kind of positive news flow is welcome at this point. You know, we're about to head over to the Paris Air Show, most of the industry that's involved in the international arena next week. And last year, we were lamenting that the F-35 couldn't make it because of a bit of an engine disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a major setback for the program. So here we are a year later, and we're starting to see positive news, and that's definitely welcome.
Was that the cracks in the engine situation?
That's exactly right, yeah, that resulted in a fire. I think excess rubbing or something between seals and blades.
So the bottom line here is that this program has gotten a lot of bad publicity over the last several years, and it does appear now, thanks to your analysis and some of these other news accounts, that it's headed in the right direction. In hindsight, is it reasonable that something of this complexity, with the expectations that the military has that this thing will be able to execute, is it reasonable that it took the period of time that it took, do you think, to get to the level of operational capability that it seems to have today?
You know, that's an interesting one. I mean, one issue is that Washington, in the form of the contracting agencies and Congress, they tend to both like to sort of, well, come close to creating a death spiral. And, of course, that classically happens when something is a bit disappointing on a tactical level. This doesn't quite meet goals. So Congress punishes it by taking away cash. That means it doesn't meet further goals. And Congress punishes it by taking away cash. And we've seen aircraft over the years come and go with that sort of death cycle. And you could have seen that happen. But as a result, it's been stuck on this plateau with procurement at about 30 per year for quite some time now. And we should have ramped up beyond 100 per year at this point, according to the goals of the original goals of the program. The real issue, though, is when you keep changing these milestones, when you keep taking away cash that should have been provided, yeah, you're going to have a recipe for slower than expected maturation. That's just almost inevitable.
Yeah, a terrific anticipation or understanding of the question, Richard, because what I was getting at is kind of what you alluded to. It appears if the F-35 does turn out to be successful, it will have succeeded despite the best efforts of some people to kill it.
Well, that's right. You know, and it's hard to tell what really is an effort to kill it.
Yes.
And what's an effort to just carve out space for competing programs. Obviously, there are people there, understandably, want to keep the Super Hornet Growler line alive in St. Louis. And, of course, some of that cash would have to come out of the hide of the F-35C, the Navy carrier version. And then, of course, there are people who just want to make sure that everyone is disciplined so, you know, the proper punishment gets meted out and whatever else, so they take cash away. That's just how they do. You know, the defense reform crowd that's been with us since the Civil War, let's face it. But inevitably, that's how it plays out. And somehow this program has survived.